So how was the dome?
It was
Horrible.
an interesting experience. I did notice the whole light situation, and it seems like they adjusted the lights too during the
What,
game at different
I'm sorry. You noticed the whole like what?
Situation.
Situation, yeah.
The situation? Okay.
Yeah.
What situation did you got?
Well, first of all, the fact that the
are
lights
you
are
eating?
dim. Yes, I am.
He's eating fried fish.
You fat
No,
bastard.
I'm not eating fried fish.
You could have been walking instead of eating.
I already went and run, bitch.
Really? I don't
Yep.
believe you.
Okay. My Fitbit says otherwise.
Could be comp could be counter. I mean, I'm not even sure what that is. So.
Exactly. That's all you need to know.
So long, boss. Knock 'em dead. Don't you worry about a thing. I wish that we could come along. We'd love to hear you sing. The limo's here, your bags are packed, the list is by the phone. Me and Snake will watch your place, treat it like our own. But look at all this liquor, look at all this food. It's only gonna go to waste, we're not really being rude. But the good stuff's in his closet, I swear he wouldn't mind. Hell, we'll just shoot the lock off.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk tonight. And maybe if we'd have won, I'd have a beer, but I don't know. Maybe I should have a beer since we lost, but anyway. A kicker, strict referees, and a cursed cornerback walk into a bar. And the Saints start 0-1. The question on a lot of Saints fans' minds is, what next? Or maybe it's our own fault. Or can we rebound for this? I don't know. Call me. Tell me. But at least Atlanta lost, right? That's something. Well, we got game recap, look at him tweets, and the biggest turnout for Pick'ems and more this week. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I will go with a 1. I had a whiskey drink earlier, and then I just had some tacos, so I'm drinking a Corona right now.
All right. And Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
0.
All right. Oh, not too chipper today as we thought we might be, but I guess we still have to do game recap.
I got to go down on the field pregame.
Oh, that's right. Tell us a little bit about that. How'd you get down
pre-game.
There?
So we were walking. We went to do breakfast at Lucy's. Renee and I were walking back down Porter. Sent a call from Adam. Says, "Hey, what's going on? Who are you with?" Just Renee. It's like, "Do you want to go in the field?" I'm like, "Sure." I'm not gonna say fucking no. So, our buddy of his had some passes to do the pregame VIP where you could just go walk on the sideline. So we were down there when the kickers were out there when we got there. But then all the players come out in different segments. Like the running backs, return specialists come out. Then Drew comes out with the rest of the receivers, and then defensive secondary comes out, then the defensive line and the offensive line comes out. So that was pretty interesting to go down there. I'd never been down there before, and this is a totally different situation than Damon just drunkenly stumbling down there. Like, I was actually supposed to be down there. But it was really cool. I took a bunch of pictures. Renee took some videos of Breeze walking down. Got to see him warm up. Got to see... Well, Jimmy Buffett walked down along the sideline. Mm-hmm. That didn't help us win, but it was a pretty cool experience. First time I'd ever been down on the field on Saints game day.
Pretty so cool. We sent a picture. We put that on Twitter.
Very, very. And it was the first time I'd seen the video board in action. Like Renee mentioned, you definitely get a totally different experience and atmosphere being down there, obviously. But then Adam also spent the game in a suite with... Jonathan Silverman, the old Weekend at Bernie's, Jonathan Silverman was in his suite, whatever suite he was in for some reason. So I was hoping he'd come on and tell that story. So we'll see if he makes his way here.
All right. And then Damon, what'd you do for the game?
What do you mean what I did for the game? I went there.
All right. Did you have to walk far in the heat?
No,
did
no,
you,
no, no.
Did you remember your ticket?
I didn't remember my ticket. Parked in my normal spot, thank God.
All right, well, nothing worth
Way to give a great analysis there, Damon.
Well, what, I walked
analysis
in the game.
Analysis of how he went to the game?
Right. I went there. Thanks a lot.
I was going
to take Poydras, but I decided to turn left on
One thing, there were a ton of Raiders fans walking to the dome, in the dome itself.
Oh, you heard them actually on TV when they were on defense and they were doing defense. You heard them loud.
And most of them were all contained in this bottom corner of the field.
In the end zone, yeah. But that's pretty common for Raiders games. The Raiders are kind of like Dallas, where their fans, you know, aren't just regulated to South California. I mean, North California. Every time we play them, they show up like this. So,
although, I mean, again, it's also a nice road trip to go to when you only play a team once every 8 years. And you look at the schedule, it's like
combination. Yeah. But the concerning thing is how so many Saints tickets fell in the hands of Raider fans.
Yeah, that pisses me off. I mean,
that's
on week one.
Well, that's been the last couple of years. You know, the dome, it's loud. It doesn't seem quite as loud as a few years ago.
It's loud for the Raiders. All right, let's get into the game itself. So, I mean, we all know the Saints lost by 1 point at the end. And, you know, you could always point to a few plays throughout the course of it. That's like if this one thing didn't, like Drew Brees doesn't fumble the ball on the first drive. You know, if we make that first, that 50-yard field goal.
I mean, that's the nature of every NFL game. The right. The margin of error in the NFL is just so razor thin.
I mean, there were several games this week. The Colts
or
Detroit game turned out that way. The Carolina Panther game, you know, decided that way.
The Jets and Cincinnati. There were four games decided by 1 point.
Right, by 1 point. And
I have an NFL record for a week where four game, you know, where games decided by one
right.
point.
And again, not just 1 point, but last seconds. You know, last play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, I mean, what Jason was saying is, yeah, the margin of, you know, the NFL got their parity.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about before. I mean, you know, there are three class of teams. There's your elite teams, there's your middle class teams, and there's your bum.
And there's your Cleveland Browns.
Right.
Attention all Cleveland Browns fans. We are the worst at things. When the NFL playoffs begin, so does the Browns' offseason.
You know, I think we're a middle-class team now. At least I felt that way for three quarters.
Well, we've been middle-class for 3 years.
Well, seven and nine.
I mean, this is it. In the rebuilding process, we've been middle-class. It is
kind of like how soccer is in the Premier League, you know, or just European soccer. You lose and you're at the bottom, you drop down to the middle league, or if you win the middle league, you move up to the elite class. We're in that middle league, and we lost Damon.
Yeah, right. All you had to do was say soccer, and he's
No one knows what you're talking about.
Well, our European listeners do.
It just sucked because for 2.5, 3 quarters. The defense did okay. They did really well on third down. And I'm sitting here sitting in my seat in the third quarter. Not once did I think that the Saints were going to lose. I'm just like, well, we got this. The offense was clicking. The offensive line had a pretty good game, especially considering how worried we have been the last few
games.
Yeah, offensive line looked great. And like you talked about that Drew Brees sack fumble. That wasn't the offensive line's fault. That was a coverage sack. You know, he had plenty of time in that pocket. You know, normally he gets, you know, he wasn't feeling the pressure, wasn't feeling it. And he, you know, they finally got him. But the offensive line did very well. Super surprised by that.
Jari Evans was the key.
Yeah. No.
Right.
That's it.
That's what we were missing.
That's the key. We just needed Jari this whole time.
Now, Armstead did say he was a little sore today. He hadn't played that many snaps in a long time, but
He did a pretty damn good job on Khalil Mack.
Yeah, he did. Look, I was pissed off last night. I was so fucking angry. And half the reason is what we talked about earlier, all the Raiders fans there. That, you know, that pissed me off. I was angry. I had to leave quickly before I said something rude to someone. Because, you know, they were cheering. Yeah, well, you know, I hate Raiders. Well, I guess I hate Raiders fans. But at the end of the day, like I said, we played better than I think we all were surprised. Yeah. How well we played. So we should really kind of feel good, right?
I thought the offense was it's like we were saying, the offense, that's not a problem.
Well, hold on. Well, I think I picked 35, scoring 35 points, and if we would have, we'd have.
You died. Did?
And y'all would, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I'm the one who said no.
I said 17 for the offense.
I went a little more, but with the line,
looking like it was, I just didn't see it. I thought the defense can hold, and for a while, that's why I was so confident we were going to win, because the defense was holding them. We did a really good job on third down.
Well,
you know, they were only 4 of 11 on third down, or 4 of 12 on third down. I'm like, I can't remember seeing a defense for the Saints that could get a team off the field on third down.
Well, definitely not in recent memory. But look, it reminded me of losing Jabari Greer in 2013. Mm. You know, once Bro went down.
Yeah.
It, you know, things changed.
Yeah. Things
changed. That losing him hurt us. I mean, that was the difference in that game. Because up until he went out, that defense was playing stellar for a Saints defense.
The key word for a Saints defense.
Well, I mean, you know, you have to qualify.
You're right. Bears. You know, they were holding them on the ground, and just that fucking 70-yard run just.
Well, that
was really the play of the game where it's like, oh, fuck. Like at that, you know, I was comfortable and confident, and then when that happened, and I see what the score is, and I'm like, oh god, like my asshole tightened up. I was like, oh no. It's going to be one of those games. And sure enough, I mean, look, it's all, you know, once Bro was out, the three defensive backs back there, this was their first NFL game for all three of them.
Right.
So
you can't be mad at those guys. You can't be mad at the defense.
No, I tell you who I'm mad at. I'm mad at fucking Bill goddamn Johnson. How the fuck does that asshole have a job?
Did someone say Bill Brasky?
No fucking defensive line pressure. That's the game right there.
No sacks.
Bill fucking Johnson. Bill Johnson and Joe fucking Vitt still have jobs. That's been the one constant for our shit defenses the last
handful. And McMahon, don't forget to throw him in there. Yeah.
Yeah, we up and down on special teams.
No, look, no, we had our return game was negative. You know, I'm not blaming the kicker. I like the kicker. I like the kicker.
Yeah.
His first game, I'm not going to, you know, we'll get into that a little later. I'm not going to, that he missed a 61-yard field goal is not something.
It's crazy that he actually had the leg.
He had the leg. I mean, you know?
So
I like.
And he made the field goal that was blocked.
Right.
I mean, somebody got a hand on it and still went in, at least, you know. I mean, yeah, to give the guy credit, it's his first.
Yeah, again, it was his first game.
Experience, yeah.
You know, this is a young team. Again, Willie Snead. I love Willie Snead. Now, yeah. the only thing, looking on the field, you know, and a bunch of players, you can only see the helmets in the back. I kept getting Willie Snead and Fleener confused because of the long, flowing blonde hair.
No. Well, you know, I can tell you this. When I was down on the field, it's amazing to see how fucking tall Fleener is.
Oh, because he doesn't look tall.
No, he is fucking tall. Josh Hill, too. They're running by. I'm like, holy fuck, those guys are tall.
Yes, they are all big.
Problem is, we pay $7 million a year for Fleener, and dude gets one fucking catch.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Fleener. I'm already where I'm happy with the kicker, even though he missed two kicks. With, for some reason, for me, Fleener, I'm already
just, right.
I'm
it's
ready,
like,
ready to get, you know, I'm already done with him. I'm ready to move on.
Was it Fleener where the first pass bounced off the back of his helmet? Whose head was that?
Well, that's not his fault. It hit the fucking defender. The only thing, I mean, Fleener, they really didn't target Fleener all that much. They had the one play where they threw it up the sideline and the defender made a good play. And
well, good. It's not the Jimmy Graham effect. We're not just tossing it to the tight end every time.
But, I mean, I hope, you know, I know it's just 1 week, and, of course, it's week one overreaction, but it's looking like, why the fuck did we pay this dude $7 million?
Well, yes, it is.
Yes, it
when
is.
When we have, you know, when it's we have knees everywhere.
That could be a scheme thing.
Well, that's what they said. Why Spiller was fucking inactive?
Yeah,
right. I don't get that. Out. I mean,
like, are you telling me you're paying this dude $4.5 million, and you can't put him in the game plan over fucking Travis Cadet? Really? Right. Really?
But they did use Cadet. They used Cadet more than Fleener.
Yeah, how many drops did Cadet have? About two or three.
Yeah.
Two that I can remember. Two, you know, that I would qualify as his fault.
Yeah.
That was frustrating.
I mean, just... Oh.
But even still, I mean, we were sitting here complaining, but the offense was not a problem when you really...
No, right. No.
Together. I mean,
no, what?
And again, well, 123 pass yards, four touchdowns.
Well,
Cooks with his beautiful 98-yard touchdown.
Well, we got to talk about that. That, I mean, how beautiful was that?
That was just...
How fast is that sumbitch? You know, I mean, he catches the ball and starts pulling away from the DB. And, you know, every 10 yards, he's getting further and further away from that guy. That
like
was
Michael
just,
Phelps.
Right. I mean, you weren't going to catch him. I mean, you know, that was over as soon as he caught the ball. And, look, Drew Brees put that ball perfectly, hit him in stride, you know.
It was perfect because I was down in the corner end zone, and that's the sideline. Like, he basically caught it and ran right at me. So I'm just seeing it unfold. I'm like, all right, yeah, it's first at the two. We'll run it. And he goes back, right, and he tosses it up, and I'm like, holy shit.
That's
and like once he caught
I'm
it, I'm like
for the flag. I'm waiting for the holding call to bring it
I'm,
all
I'm
back.
Just like the second he caught it, I'm like nobody's gonna catch him. Nobody's gonna catch him.
I'm sure the crowd was.
You know, like he was the fastest guy coming, you know, at the combine that year.
Yeah,
right. He was probably the fastest guy on that field. You know.
Yeah.
Sunday, I'm assuming.
At least of those 22 guys.
Well, right. And I mean, it was beautiful. That got the crowd. Like Jason said, we were on the 2 yard line. We had just. The series before, we were stuck with, you know, within the five and didn't do anything. And I'm like, oh, no, this is where, you know.
This is it.
The funny thing,
you said that, and actually we're sitting there and watching it. And I'm like, I bet you, I didn't think it was going to be in one play. But I'm like, all right, we got a 98-yard touchdown drive coming. I feel it. It's going to happen.
Right.
And then that play, I'm like, did I call it or what? This play right here.
it was a thing of beauty. It really was.
That was great. Now,
and then, course, you know, like once that play happened, I'm like, well, all right, it's our day. Like, we fucking got it. It's our day. We got it.
That was the momentum shit. Right. Well, there was going back to Cadet real quick. There was one of his misses where he got the pass interference call on that number 25. Apparently, the Saints, Drew Brees especially, must have been seeing something and telling Brees something about, because right before the play, Brees looks over at he was Cadet or whoever the receiver was, and Brees tugged on his own shoulder. His sleeve, do it. And then they went after that guy. They got like three pass interference calls on that same player.
Yeah, there was that one drive. They were like, what, two or three, like back to back.
Yeah.
Up the left side.
Well, to me, I mean.
So the guy was playing rough.
Right. And now that's the same guy that Cooks beat, right?
Yeah.
And so that's.
Like,
so that's
like a $40 million contract.
Right. So that, I mean, so watching the game. That's what I thought. If the guy had just gotten beat and he wasn't going to get beat, you know, we were trying to beat him and he just wasn't going, you know, he says, fuck it, I'll take the, you know, pass interference. I'm not going to let you get behind me.
Well, he used the Brandon Browner strategy.
Right.
But, you know, that makes me wonder, and call me a conspiracy theorist, if that our pass interference call at the end on that fourth down that they threw on us was a little bit of a.
No,
maybe not a payback, but they were playing. The refs were playing really strict. They were really tight, and you know the whole debate, if you want to have it, was that ball catchable? Should it have been a call?
Like I said in the opening, you know, there's plenty that the offense or the defense didn't do. That one play did not cost us the game. But to call that play, we've all heard for years. I mean, every year we hear it. Oh, these are playoff rules. You know, they're letting them play. You're letting them play playoff rules, and. I'll bet you dollars to donuts, they would not call that pass interference in a Super Bowl or even a playoff game. Yes, the linebacker didn't get his head around that. I mean, that's why it was pass interference, because he didn't touch the wide receiver.
Mario Death.
Well, he touched him.
Not really.
He touched him
inappropriately.
Apparently he got a flag for it. Yeah.
Kind of like the priest used to touch you when you were a kid.
There was contact. Okay, now.
Not a lot. I mean, not a lot.
No,
really.
not enough to draw the flag, but there was contact. There was. You could look at the replay. He touched the guy. But the ball was not a catchable ball.
It was, right. It was not.
And that's the problem. Like, do they even call that anymore? The uncatchable deal?
I haven't heard it, but...
I mean, yeah.
And wasn't it a late flag, too?
Oh, it definitely was. The same thing with the penalty on the third down. The holding on the other side of the field on that same drive. You know, we thought we got away with it. And, I mean, a really late flag. The guy looking at the play right there doesn't throw the flag. But the back judge, way the fuck in the end zone, tosses that late flag in. Now, that one was probably more of a penalty than the fourth down play. But still... Yeah, just.
I don't know. I mean, obviously we're biased, but that's the game right there. I mean,
sure it is. Yeah. Extending that drive with fourth down, they were coming off the field. Like I said, yeah, we're biased, and I hate to, you know, I'm not gonna. It was a touchy flag.
Right.
If they wouldn't have thrown the flag and said the ball was uncatchable.
No, nobody would have bitched about it.
Right. The Raiders would have. Right. Right. Yeah. But I don't even think they would have bitched about it.
No.
I really don't.
Okay. Right.
Well, no, but even again, looking at the play, it's not like, you know, and that, like you said, that holding call on the third down holding call was such. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He grabbed his jersey and the jersey stretched, but he never impeded the man. You know. I don't.
Kind of makes the old saying? The refs should not
influence the game,
and they really did.
Yes.
And again, people was watching. They were like, "Yeah, but objectively speaking, we got a few calls that maybe we shouldn't have benefited from over the course of the game. Not right then and there, obviously, but there was a few. Saints didn't need to.
Possible. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, there were calls both ways, but." It just, you know, like on a fourth down, less than a minute or a minute left, it's just, you know, like if the ball was clearly uncatchable, like make the.
It's like they forgot, right? You're right. It's like they forgot about that. It's all about, and it could be the whole concussion bullshit and the pussification of the NFL where it doesn't matter if it's uncatchable or not. If somebody touches somebody, it's a flag now. In 10 years, we're going to be watching flag football.
No, well. Thinking of someone, speaking of flag football, and someone who was playing flag football out there, I think, and I'm definitely done with this son of a bitch, is Bird.
Huh. That's odd. I thought that would be big news.
You thought what would be big news?
Well, there seems to be an absence of a certain ornithological piece. A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety.
What are you talking about?
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
Well, a bird, bird, bird. A bird, a word, a well, a bird, bird, bird. A bird, a word, a well, a bird, bird, bird.
What the I mean, holy mac. This guy should be fucking charged with fucking theft.
Yeah.
And taken to jail for the money that he fucking stole from this team. I mean, Mr. Benson should fucking press charges. fuck him. I mean, this motherfucker plays so far off the line of scrimmage. Fuck, I mean, go sit in the stand, have a hot dog.
Right.
You know, go have a fucking hot dog. Sit there. We don't need you. We're playing with
Kit Finn. He is so far back on every fucking play.
Right, and apparently he's not quick enough to get to the ball.
And then that pussy excuse for a tackle he tries to make on that 70-yard run.
Right.
It's terrible. Terrible. Like, put fucking Von Bell in there. Fuck Jarris Bird. I mean, it can't be worse. Like, what has he done here? Other than... That first Falcons game, I think he forced a fumble. That is like the only thing he's ever done for this team in 3 years. The only thing. One play. Other than that, he's done nothing.
I'm sorry, well, that you remember
except
that.
Cash
is good,
checks.
Right, because I don't remember that, you know. But he does. He shields away from contact. He's not aggressive.
He doesn't make any plays in the secondary.
He plays too far off
playing
from
not to get hurt.
Scrimmage, you know.
He's playing not to get hurt.
Right. You know, I mean his attitude and lack of toughness on the field, you know, were the real problem. You know?
He is just a big nothing.
But now with Delvin Bro out, we need him to step up his game. Rookie.
He has no game. He has no game. He's like, I'll play 20 yards back and watch what happens.
Yeah, what game? He's going to step up his game. my God, that would be a wonderful thing. That's not going to happen, you know.
You could go from zero to one.
Right. Step up my game.
All right. So speaking of Delvin Bro and the injury, now
Well, we're not done with Bird here. Hold on. We're not done with Bird.
Oh, you got more to say?
Well, yeah. Fuck Gareth Bird. Because, I mean, besides that, we can cut him after this year. If we cut him next year in 2017, we save $3.1 million on the salary cap.
On the cap. We'll have some dead money, but it'll be cheaper.
We'll have dead money, but I don't give a shit.
No, he's gone.
I don't care. I mean, I think the dead money would be... $8 million would be his dead money.
It's dead money right now.
Exactly. It's dead money now.
Ooh.
Right. But again, we'd get an extra 3.1 on the cap.
And we can put somebody on the field who might actually contribute.
Right.
Yeah, Von Bell. Put Von Bell out there.
Right. So that's...
drafted the motherfucker in the second round, third round.
Right. So this is my prediction. Sure to go right... you know, Saints cut Gareth Bird at the end of this year.
Mm.
Let him go. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, you fucking bum.
Now talk about Bro's injury. And what is that? P.J. Williams and...
Raleigh and Harris.
Raleigh. Do they bring Dixon up? Or do they go sign Dalton Finnegan?
I'm sure they're going to call in Finnegan and sign him. I mean, there's nobody else out there.
Right.
You want to give Mike McKenzie a call? Bring it back.
It worked last time, right?
Last time we won a Super Bowl.
He's better than Gareth Bird. I'd rather McKenzie back there. Look, you have to have a veteran, defensive back. We have to have a veteran defensive back, you know. Unless the Saints are just totally giving up on this year and saying, look, it's a rebuild. Fuck it. Let's get these young guys, you know.
I don't think you can afford to give up like that.
It's too early to do that.
Especially not with the offense playing this good. What would make them all the secondary better is the pass rush, like Jason said about Bill Johnson. I mean,
right. These guys could be good as they want. You could have all pro corners, and if you can't get a pass rush, it doesn't matter. I mean, Carr had so much time to throw the ball.
You're correct.
So much fucking.
Don't you, of yesterday's game, and yeah, it went bad, but again, isn't that really the only thing you can bitch about is a defensive line play?
Yeah.
Like you said, the defensive backs, look, they held their own until Bro went out. Offensive line looked great. Breeze is fucking Breeze, you know. Yeah. Wide receivers look good. I love Thomas. I love Willie Snead, you know. Love Brandon Cooks.
And your boy, the new guy, you just said Michael Thomas.
Right. But it's the defensive line is the only unit to me that underperformed or didn't perform at all.
Yeah.
You know, at all yesterday.
Yeah, your linebackers played good.
Did we have any sacks?
No, none.
I didn't think
zero, so. Zero sacks, zero turnovers.
Right.
I mean, or takeaways. I mean, that's the game.
Yeah.
Zero fucking sacks. Now, I know Oakland has a decent offensive line, but at some point their tackle got hurt, and you know they were playing a backup tackle, and we still couldn't get to him. Couldn't get to him. Bill fucking Johnson. What the fuck are you doing? Do your fucking job, asshole. He needs to be out in the street yesterday.
Well, like you said, yeah. You know, Bill Johnson, it's fucking cronyism, you know. It brought down Jim Mora. It brought down Marty Schottenheimer. And it's going to bring down Sean Payton.
It's bringing down Payton.
You know.
Johnson and Vitt.
And McMahon. I know him and Vitt are BFF, I think. That's fine. You don't have to make him leave the fucking building. Just don't let him coach linebackers.
Right.
Make him fucking, you know.
But again,
take a fucking title up and pay him. Mr. Benson don't give a shit.
Yeah, right.
Benson don't give a shit.
Make him an assistant coach. That's it.
Assistant head coach.
There you go.
Assistant head coach. And he can go give all his fucking...
Roddy was just conciliar.
Right, you know, and he can go give all his inspirational speeches and all that. And look, and I'm sure fucking Joe Vitt knows more about football than three of us would learn in 1,000 lifetimes.
Sure.
I'm sure he's
great. Even Bill Johnson does.
He
doesn't know how to teach it.
Right. Right, but name me one linebacker that we've developed.
Even a guy like Stephon Anthony, Marty had more snaps than Anthony yesterday. How does that make sense?
I like Marty.
It's a first, yeah, but he's still Marty. He's a white dude. He's a special teams captain. Stephon Anthony is a first round fucking draft pick. How is he not?
Scott Chandley and Scott Fajita were white dudes, and they played pretty well.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but they were more talented. Well, at least Fajita was more talented.
Well,
you do Chandley.
He's still
out
on Marty. He's still new. He's what, second year?
Yes.
So yeah, you don't know if his career is going to – he may have a great career. Maybe he's playing more than Stephon Anthony because he deserves to be out there more than Stephon Anthony.
Well, then that says a lot that you couldn't develop Anthony, you know.
Lord,
I just don't understand.
Anthony's problem, too, that he was drafted so high, but he's being outplayed by a white dude.
Laurinaitis, I liked him. I like
– Laurinaitis looked good, yeah.
I like him.
He played solid. Robertson had a good game because Ellerby was out.
As is, of course, the tradition.
You know, I mean, if anything, it should be news when he plays.
He's the new C. Grant. And, you remember C. Grant?
Yeah.
C. Grant was the next coming to fucking Sam Mills, but he just couldn't get on the fucking field.
All right. Last statements on game recap.
Okay, I got a question. Who is more of a do-nothing, Bill Johnson or Jairus Byrd?
Jairus Byrd.
I'm going to have to go with Bill Johnson.
I would say Johnson because he's done it longer.
Right.
Other than the 2013 season where we seem to get some pressure, every other season we have just sucked.
Right. And Damon, last statements on the game.
Well, again, like I said, the game was disappointing. And what was even more disappointing is they gave us hope. Like Jason, once we got into the fourth quarter, I forget the lead. What was it, 28 to?
We were
to
up
13. You know, whatever the fourth quarter. You know, we had a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter. I said, "Fuck, we got this.
Yeah.
We got this at the fourth quarter." And I'm keeping, you know, every time we get the ball, okay, we need let's make a 4-minute drive. You know, and we went and scored a couple of times short. You know, and the defense gave up 22 points in the fourth quarter.
That's what young defenses do. That's
it, young defense. Well, and God damn it, you're right. As mad as I was yesterday, Jeff, you're right. There are things to be, you know, take away.
They didn't underperform. They fought hard. They played.
But the taste the game left in my mouth for that fourth quarter makes me look at every other game that we play and go, holy shit, who can we beat?
Yeah.
You know,
because
if we get that fourth quarter performance because Bro wasn't there and he ain't going to be here for 8 weeks, you know.
Right.
And when he comes back after, you know, a 2-month layoff, he's going to need a little time to get back in.
And at that point, what if we're fucking 3-6? Like, well, fuck, season's over. It doesn't matter.
Get in 10-6.
Yeah. Well, at that point, we'll have Rankins back, but...
See? Oh, upgrades.
Yeah, but again, as disappointed as I am, as I was, I mean, I see a little silver lining. I see some stuff we can work with.
Yeah.
You know, not like, you know, the last 2 years on defense where it was just fucking horrific.
I was more sad than mad just because, man, Breeze has been stuck with such shit on defense. And he's going to get disrespected. He's going to have these gaudy numbers. He's going to be at the end.
Yeah.
But because he's
Did
had
he tie...
because he's had all the shit defenses, he's not going to have the
oh, he'll be a
Super
first
Bowls
he'll...
or the playoff. Right? Oh yeah, he'll be a first,
he'll be first ballot Hall of Famer.
That's the hand he's dealt. And
but it just seems like they'll always look at him below.
Too bad.
Manning.
We won't.
Well, he is below.
No.
All right, that we're not going to go into that. But I did want to ask: did he tie or break a record for most opening day games of 300 or more yards passing?
Well, two things. A, that's just a dumb stat.
Okay.
I mean, that's a made-up stat. He has more 300-yard games on days that end in a Y that are nonsensical with the moon. You know, no, what? Who the fuck even knows that? He's fucking stupid. You know?
Heard it on the NFL Network before the game.
Well, okay, well then that was the second part of my thing. You brought it up, so you should fucking know, you retard. We were in the game. We didn't hear anything like
all
that.
All right. We'll then move on to look at him tweets. We got a few of them. Let's see. Todd Bourgeois just sent us
hashtag. Look at him tweets.
Look at him tweets. That's it. I think I wanted you to say here, right?
All right. It is.
All right, we got one from Tyler Dyer, Life of Ty. Base, hashtag better call Keenan.
His hip ain't healthy enough. We would. His hip ain't healthy enough.
Thought it was better than Gareth Bird.
I mean, what do you think? What are the odds? I mean,
I call him. I call Finnegan. I call everybody. I call Mike McKenzie. I call them all that.
Signal.
I call back Jabari. Jason David?
I don't know. Well, maybe. I mean, I call Jabari Greer, you know?
What's Corey White doing? Jeez. And Zeno, still on the bro thing. When bro went down, I knew it was over. Epitaph. Here lies 2016 Saints secondary. First quarter through third quarter. You know, like born dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is something, too. Look at what's happened. 2 months ago, the secondary looked like it was a position of strength and depth. Right. We were still anticipating Keenan playing. You still had Damian Swan. You still had Kyle Wilson.
We're so
all three of those guys are gone now.
We're so fucking cursed in that unit. I mean, think about it. It's not just now. It's been for the last – since Jabari Greer went down or maybe even before.
Even before that. Like, the Case Bahorn curse. It's all Darren Sharper's fault.
Ooh.
He sacrificed to the gods and he got punished for it. And we get punished.
We got punished for it.
No. I mean, hey, we got a. You know what? Hey, we got a Super Bowl out of it.
That's fucking weird, right?
Swan, Lewis, bro. God, if those guys could be playing,
right? Although it wouldn't matter without a pass rush, but at least
no, we didn't have a.
We
pass
would have a fighting
rush.
Chance.
We didn't have a pass rush the first three quarters, and it seemed to make a big difference.
Yeah.
Now you're right. A pass rush would. A pass rush would make those deficiencies less evident. Like the days of the great Dome Patrol, when Troy Burnt Toast Cook was out there.
Oh,
you know,
God.
That bum, you know.
Robert Massey.
Right, but, you could disguise that because Ricky Jackson was hanging off your quarterback in 2 seconds, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, pass rush, you would definitely hide that deficit that we have in the secondary. But
well, time to step it up, Bill Johnson, which we've exhausted that. Neil comes in with, do you still have the Cook's burner? Do you still have the Cook's boner, or has it worn off?
I still got it. That 98 yard.
You need to call your doctor if it's lasted longer.
That 98 yarder lasts longer than 4 hours.
Yeah, that 98 yarder, man, that was something of beauty.
That was, whew.
All right, we got CJ coming in here. Why the fuck were there so many Raider fans in the Dome? Did that many season ticket holders sell their tickets? Bandwagon fans.
Yeah, and you're right. Fuck those people that sold those tickets. You know, fuck
the same
them,
people
fuck
who
them.
Would normally sell
hold on,
Dallas.
But,
sell them. But look, the Raiders do travel. They're one of the teams like Pittsburgh, like Dallas. They do tend to travel well. But
well, again, it's not even that they travel well. And I probably told you, when I went to the when Ricky Jackson got inducted into the Hall of Fame and I went there, and I think it was Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, Ricky, and whoever. And so all, out of the crowd of 40,000 people that show up for that thing, 50% were just Dallas fans, but not one of them were from Texas.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was one, but none that I met. You hang around all day with the people and you talk, and it's a really nice event. But literally none of those Dallas fans that I talked to were from Texas.
Well, yeah.
They were from up and down the East Coast. And that's how the Raiders are and Pittsburgh. They have those are teams that have fans throughout the country.
Planted throughout the yeah.
Right.
They're like the anti Falcons.
Right. who have no fans anywhere.
Not even their own city.
Not even in Atlanta.
Right.
There's less Falcons fans in Atlanta than anywhere else.
Yeah. All right, and then we got Mark Chafin at Who Dat Nutsack coming in with over under on the games that CJ Spiller actually plays this year. What's the over under? He's got 6.
I don't know. He was healthy and they don't
right.
play.
I don't understand how he can't be healthy.
I don't know what to tell you.
Because they had the opportunity to get rid of him, and they kept him, right?
Right. Yeah. That's scratching my head there on...
Is he still hurt?
No, he's not hurt. He's a healthy... Peyton said they're playing the matchups. They thought Cadet had a good matchup or whatever. Well, I just don't like the fact
that... Cadet would have caught everything thrown to him. It would have been.
That just... You're paying this dude $4 million. You can't have a healthy scratch for a dude making $4 million. All
right. And I don't also know, like, you're playing matchups. Cadet's got better matchups than C.J. Spiller. What's the price tag on C.J. Spiller and the price tag on Cadet?
That's at least a $3 million difference.
Okay, so you're telling me that a guy that's being paid $4 million, isn't like a every game matchup opportunity?
Right. How is he not important enough to get him into the matchup?
Yeah, when he started for Buffalo and he played well when he did for Buffalo. I don't understand what's going on with C.J. Spiller.
It's been a conundrum since we signed him. I don't know.
Anyway.
Another possible, another questionable decision by the front office / coach.
Or unforeseen bust.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
That's going there. All right, did y'all have any reach rounds, NFL reach rounds?
Well, the Falcons lost, and again, you mentioned that, and that's funny. I'm always happy with the Falcons lose.
Problem is, it was at the expense of the Bucks. Jameis Winston, yeah, four touchdowns.
Yeah, he looked good. Well, but at least Tampa, he played the Bucks twice. Yeah.
I know, but they might look a little legit. They're not going to be a pushover. Well,
they beat Atlanta.
I know they beat Atlanta.
They beat Atlanta. Don't crown them yet.
You want to crown them?
I'm trying to crown already! Now, who thought we had there?
But hey, yeah, the good thing, right, that's the good thing about us losing is it's the weekend that everybody else in our division lost.
Right. Tampa Bay,
which is totally catchable.
But a good thing, Carolina, that was glorious. I stayed up and watched that whole Carolina game, and to see them ice the kicker and then have him miss it.
Oh, right, because he made that first one.
Yep.
He made that first one. I saw it, it was kind of an afterthought. He just kicked it and went in. I thought, oh, fuck. Yeah, it looks good. Fuck, he can make that. Damn, they're going to win.
Right, in Denver.
right.
Where you get the extra.
Right, exactly. In Denver, you get, right. And then for him to shank it, that was so wonderful.
It was great. I went to bed that night.
Well, I guess, I don't know. I don't think that we've talked about it. But the last Friday, the day after the Carolina-Denver game, they kept going on and on about Cam Newton. Targeted. And Cam Newton, blah, blah, blah. I think Cam Newton's a whiny bitch. I watched the game. There were two helmet to helmet that I saw. Okay. The Monday Night Football is on. They get to the national anthem.
And Kaepernick kneel down.
Kaepernick can go fuck himself.
He knelt.
Yeah, he knelt. So for all you people who kneel, go fuck yourself. And for all
you know what they should have done? Not put the camera on him.
Well, that's the problem. They showed him the whole fucking time. They should have just not showed him. Right.
So the national anthem's not even about the flag. It's about Colin Kaepernick.
No, of course not, because he can go fuck himself.
A backup fucking quarterback.
Right. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have the right. You know what? If he wants to protest or say, that's fine. But if I was an owner, first of all, this is my time. I'm paying you, motherfucker. Stand up and shut the fuck up. You want to go do it anywhere else? I'd have no problem.
Especially on the weekend that was the anniversary of 9/11.
If you don't happy about being in this country, then please, please find someone better and go. Please, please leave. You're unhappy here, go. And that's anybody, anywhere. You're unhappy in a marriage, go. You're unhappy at work, go. You're unhappy blowing me? Well, wait till I finish, then you can go.
Oh, all right. What are we talking about now?
Cam Newton and they targeted him. There were two times. One time was bad. The defender left his feet and hit him in the head. That should have definitely been flagged. It wasn't. The other time that I saw, he was getting sacked and another defensive player was coming from him and they bumped heads. Yeah, but it wasn't. Look, you have a bunch of big men running around. You're going to bump heads. That's why you have a helmet. You have a helmet because you're going to bump each other's heads in this physical game.
Thank you.
Yes, do not target someone with a helmet. Yes, that is a good rule. That is a good rule of thumb, But if you hit someone's head, again, to me, to call it, it has to be intentional. It can't be
circumstance.
Right. I mean, this is.
Look. Pierre Thomas got knocked in his helmet in the San Francisco game, and it was.
Right. It wasn't that. Right. No one did that on purpose. I mean, I felt bad it happened because I think we win that game with PT. Plus, we go in and score the touchdown. But today, right, that'd have been a flag. We'd retain the ball on the 1 yard line, you know. But the San Francisco, and I don't remember who it was, but the San Francisco guy, he didn't do it on purpose in that Saints game. And again,
it's the nature of football. It's going to happen.
That's why you wear helmets, because it's going to happen.
Right. For them to spend as much time as they did on the quote unquote violence of the game is what it was.
The thing
we shouldn't be
is...
hitting hard in football. That's why I made the statement earlier. In 5-6 years, we're going to be watching flag football.
Well, the thing to me is the NFL keeps saying, yeah, we care about our players. We want to keep them safe. Newton should have gone in the concussion protocol on a couple of those hits. He should have been taken out the game and got administered the test, and he wasn't. And that's the problem with the thing. A team's – when a star player like that –
You hear what Bat with Razor Blades said on this interview with Matt Lauer when he asked him about it?
No, because I don't want to ever hear that asshole.
Which one, Matt Lauer or Roger Goodell?
I heard it, Jeff. We went through watching the same thing you saw.
Yeah, where basically he said Cam Newton should have gone through the
deal,
and that we're going to talk to Carolina people and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he made sure to cite that he's working with the CBA, the players union, and all that.
He's not going to do shit. If the same thing happens next week, Newton is not coming out of that game.
Right. But no anyway, but my point bringing it up, and we kind of got a little bit off. Was do you think they were targeting Cam Newton? And do you think because the whole
I don't think they were targeting Cam Newton.
The talking part was that they don't give him protections like they would a Drew Brees or Tom Brady.
Meant too.
I mean that's basically the.
I don't think they were targeting him any more than you would target any player.
Anybody. They were trying to hit the quarterback hard.
Intimidate. Yeah.
Okay. Well, but is he not getting the call that a Drew Brees would get?
Well, I don't. I mean, look. At least one or two of those probably should have been flagged. Why they weren't, I don't know. I'm not gonna say the referee's fucking racist. I have no idea.
Maybe that's what he's saying. Maybe that is what he's saying.
That has to be because the dude was the MVP of the league. Any MVP of the league is gonna get treatment.
Honestly, if he's not getting those calls as these other guys, if you look at the difference in those guys, it's these other guys are not running quarterback.
He puts
himself out there.
He throws
himself all over the field. He has no problem getting smashed when he does a flip over the goal line. And it does a Superman move like he's invincible. Well, don't complain when you get hit.
That's right. And Jeff, I think you hit it there. He is a run option quarterback. They use him just like a running back, you know, give them a nice advantage, you know. That's my thinking is you are so many times, Cam, you're running the ball.
That you're saying I'm okay to get hit.
Right. You're not a quarterback at that point. You're a running back. And you're right, Jeff. That's what I believe it is. Of course, the NFL or the referees do not make a distinction because you're Cam Newton, you know.
No.
This isn't Hack-a-Shack, you know. But you're a whiny bitch, and you pout, and I'm glad you lost, and I hope you feel bad.
Okay. And with that, we'll move to Pick'ems.
Wait a second.
There's more?
Well, yeah, with the Shitlanta. Shitlanta and their new robot anus stadium. They have approved. They're going to have the largest bird statue in the world.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
All right.
Okay.
Dyrus bird.
You know. It's going to be 41 feet high and have a wingspan of 64 feet. You know,
okay.
I mean, it's just so funny that the Atlanta taxpayers are forking over $200 million to help build a stadium that looks like a metal sphincter and a statue that looks like, you know, it's come out of the World of Warcraft. I mean,
is it gonna be hovering over the dome like it's taking?
No. It's gonna be outside the stadium. It has wings spread and it's holding on to a football, you know, because you know they're Shitlanta. It's just they live in their own world, and it was nice Sunday night, you know, trying to get some solace because I was so down. I went on the Atlanta message boards because it's always fun to hear them, watch them, you know, implode. And they hate everyone on their team. There's no one on their there's no one that they hate. The head coach, they hate the offensive coordinator, they hate Matt Ryan.
Oh wait, they hate Quinning.
Yeah, you know.
Did you see there was a play in their game? Somebody showed the video replay or a GIF on Twitter. One of their defensive ends, I forget who, maybe Vic Beasley, was coming in off the edge, and like he got turned around, and then got turned around the other way and looked like a complete fucking idiot on a play.
It was, find that and send
it. It was honestly one of the funny. Somebody Google Vic Beasley. I don't know, stupid play. Like he got turned around and like got faked out going one way, and there was nobody there. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
All right, now can we get to pick'ems?
Only after I say, what the fuck were we thinking that we all picked Cleveland?
I don't know, man. Cleveland.
I mean, when I said in the dome stuff, how the fuck did we all pick Cleveland?
It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain, you can't take it. I'm in control.
So go ahead, Paul.
Cleveland and San Francisco are fighting over the worst team in the league. Cleveland's starting 15 rookies. Right. Like, that's all you need to know for Cleveland.
RG3 went down and they placed him on IR.
Already. Couldn't even make it beyond one week.
Hilarious.
Although, shit, Josh McCown might be better than him. So Jeff led the week 4-1. He did.
4-1!
He went 4-1 because I went back for the tape. He never actually said Indy. At some point, he just said, yeah. See how he says, yeah. And then, but he never actually said Indy, so he got Detroit. So we all won with Denver. Jeff and I won with Detroit. You two won with New England. Jeff was the only one to pick the Jets. The Jets lost by 1 point, but they got 2.5. And then we all lost Cleveland. So Jeff went 4-1. Damon, you and I went 2-3.
There it is. And in the extended version, we had 11 people play with us.
Wow.
And I'm still 4-1 with my 800% in the lead of everyone. Ed Hunt, new player, tied with Near, who decided
Mike's to brother
here, and Mike and Ed Hunt, and Triple D's Stud Farm all came in at 3-2. Other players include Alex Barbie, A-Rod, Glenn Fitz, who said he was the defending champion, sole defending champion from last year. EJ, Zeno, Dad to Twins, and Hungry Hoodat, all back. Hungry Hoodat, Dad to Twins, and Zeno rounding out the bottom with a 1-4 record. Notice, I didn't see that Neil participated this week.
Wait, no. Neil definitely sent in picks. I saw the tweet.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he definitely.
Oh, I must have missed it. All right, well, we'll update you, Neil. Next week, I'm sure it was 1-4 or something like that. All right, Damon.
It's okay because he bet in pounds, and there's a good exchange rate right now.
All right, what's our slate of games this week?
All right, slate of games. First game, the Chiefs at the Texans. Chiefs coming off a big comeback win at home against San Diego. San Diego was up, I believe, 21-3 at one point. Kansas City came back and beat them. Houston also coming off a win last week. This game is in Houston, and the Texans are favored by 2. Linebacker Brian Cushing sprained his MCL, so he will not be playing for the Texans this week. And Kansas City didn't have Jamaal Charles last week. Don't know what the status is this week, but they didn't look like they missed a beat. Spencer Ware had a monster game for Kansas City last week.
I was surprised Kansas City came back and won that game.
Well, I mean, Keenan Allen tore his ACL for San Diego, and it was kind of downhill from there. Just a brutal. I want to say that might be his second ACL injury. It seems like he's always hurt. I'm going to go ahead and take Houston.
All right, so I don't know a whole lot about what's going on in Houston.
I mean, look, these are two playoff teams. At least, I mean, I at the beginning of the year, I picked these two teams to both win their divisions.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Kansas City on this one. Just to create some separation.
Well, you already got separation.
Well, I have a game to be risky with, and this will be it.
Risky, risky.
I'm going to take Kansas City also.
Mm. All right. Gaining a game on the field. I like that. All right. Our next game, AFC North battle. Cincinnati Bengals coming off a win at the Pittsburgh Steelers, who beat Washington pretty good tonight. Cincinnati with a one-point win over the Jets last week. Still have some guys injured, although A.J. Green torched Revis Island this week. I went against A.J. Green in fantasy and just got fucking...
I have A.J. Green in fantasy.
Pittsburgh looked pretty damn good tonight against Washington. Now, maybe Washington's not that good, but Pittsburgh looked really good. This game is in Pittsburgh, and they are favored by 3.5.
I'll go first. I'll take Pittsburgh.
No tie here. Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh with you.
I am also going to take Pittsburgh. They normally play better at home. At least Roethlisberger normally plays better at home. But they look... I mean, I still think Cincinnati is a really good team, but Pittsburgh...
Well, but Cincinnati's been a good team for the last however many years. What's his name have been there? But I don't think they're as good as Pittsburgh. You said at home.
Right.
And that's a rivalry game, you know?
Yeah. All right, next game. The Bucs at the Cardinals. Bucs, of course, coming off that win against Atlanta in Atlanta. What?
I said Cardinals.
He doesn't even need a spread. He just said Cardinals. I was just about to do it myself.
All right. Cardinals are favored by 6.5.
Ooh.
Coming off a loss against New England and Garoppolo last night.
Actually, 6.5. Going to take Tampa on this one.
I'm also going to take Tampa.
Excellent.
All right. Sounds like Damon's keeping his Cardinals bet.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next game, the Jets at the Bills. Both teams coming off losses last week. Jets with a tough loss. Bills didn't look good at all against the Ravens. This game is in Buffalo, and it's a pick 'em.
Because the Ryans suck.
How'd that defense in Buffalo look?
I don't think the Ravens scored a lot of points. No.
It's because it's the Ravens.
No. I think it was like either 10-7 or 13-3, something like that. I mean, 13-7.
I'll go first. I'll go with the Jets.
I'm going with the Jets also.
I'll take the Jets with you.
Now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Piece of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a...
This is our second AFC North battle of the week. The 1-0 Ravens against the 0-1 Browns, who will be without RG3.
Ravens, stop it, Ravens. I'm not going to ever pick the Browns again. I don't care if they're getting 14 points. Ravens.
Like, who was the team last year I kept picking?
Ravens.
Buffalo, I think.
I'm with you, Damon. Ravens.
Yeah, we all picked the fucking... Just, yeah, you say Ravens.
I will, but what's the spread?
7. Cleveland's favored by 7. At
Cleveland's favored by 7?
No, I'm sorry. Cleveland's getting 7.
Right. At home, you're getting 7. I mean, how disrespect. I mean, my God. You're a touchdown underdog at home. And you automatically get, 3 points, I mean, that's, So basically, they think you're going to lose by more than 10 points. I mean, that's just...
At home. Well, they lost RG3.
Oh, well, that's
They might actually be better with McCown.
Right, that superstar.
Yeah, because he's done so well for him.
Jason, I'll give you a hint for the rest of the season. Don't pick the Browns in anything, because none of us are going to take the Browns again.
Well, look, there wasn't a lot of other options.
I know, and the 7 points made it, somewhat attractive, I guess. But no. Right. Ravens.
Jeff, I'm assuming you're going with the Ravens, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although that 7 points is a little...
Take the Browns.
Attractive, but no.
What's happening?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Oh, hell yeah!
Welcome to the show, Adam. What's your number?
It is a 3.4.
Oh, a couple of glasses of wine with dinner.
Higher than the rest of us.
And maybe a little bit from yesterday, too.
All right. For those of you who are new to the show, you may not remember Adam, but those of you who have listened for a long time, you know that Adam was a series regular from seasons 1 through...
2.
3?
3.
maybe 1.5. Maybe 1.5.
And then we replaced him with the black guy.
He then got replaced by Ted McGinley.
All right. Adam, welcome to the show. Quick little gauntlet for you. How was your Saints game experience?
It was the best one I've had in a long time, maybe ever, other than the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Even with the loss?
Even with the loss.
Well, did you get a blowjob during the game? But
no, I just
don't know about it. I mean, you know.
I had no plans of going to the game, and then at like 8 o'clock in the morning, I had a friend of mine who's like, "You want to go to the game?" So I was like, I looked at my wife. She's like, okay. And so I was like, all right, I'm going. So I got dressed. We went to eat breakfast set at Blue Line. Then we went straight to the dome. We, along the way, called Jason up and kind of ruined his plans. Did he tell you what he did?
Yep.
All right. So then we called Jason. Jason came and met us. We went on the field. We watched all the field stuff. Then we went up to our seats. And then from our seats, we went into the suite. A special suite of somebody for the Saints, and we just hung out in the suite the whole time. And then we had like an actor in there, and it was kind of cool to hang out with him.
An actor?
Yes, an actor.
Was there a dead body there?
No.
Darius Bird wasn't there.
He was kind of there.
But he was alive dead. The whole time.
Yeah, he was dead.
No, we've been thinking Bird's been alive for 3 years. Apparently not.
Bird.
So yeah,
Speaking of Bird.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then like the whole time I'm kind of like sitting there, I was like, you know, we got some good plays. Like everybody's giving high fives. I'm kind of on the other side of the suite. I was like, I got to get a high five, right? Like I got to go get a high five. And then the more I started thinking about it, I was like, man, it's turned into like a Seinfeld episode. I'm going to walk over there to give him a high five. I'm going to trip. I'm going to spill his beer all over his shirt. And I'm gonna, you know. It's going to be what happens. But no, so on the 98-yard touchdown to Cooks is when I got my high five in.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of cool.
And you didn't fuck it up.
No, I didn't fuck it up.
On the longest play in Saints history.
The most anticipated high five in Adam's life.
Well, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, what you just said, Jason, is the longest play in Saints history. And I got there, after we lost, I said, you know, I was looking forward to going home and watching that play on, you know, on the recap shows at night, and I said, you know, besides the 2009 season, every other Saints, you know, big moment, like you know the River City Miracle and all that, always ends with us losing, and I can't enjoy the plays.
Jason, from your angle, could you see the kick was no good?
It looked. Yeah, I mean, it looked like you really couldn't tell until the very end, especially because like after the fact, I could see the replay. Like it looked good for 90% of the kick. Right. So from where we were, you really couldn't tell that it wasn't good until at the very end. Because even when it went through, it's like, was that good? Like I couldn't tell.
From my angle, like I had, I guess, at the side angle, and it looked like it was in. And dude, we were going crazy. And we thought we had it, and then I got another high five, and then it was like womp womp.
Well, that's something too. When the kick went through, like there was a lot of cheering, and I thought a lot of people thought that it went in. Just because it had the distance.
That was Raiders fans in the end zone cheering.
Yeah, they had a lot.
Yeah, they did. No, and seriously, that's who it was. And you're right. Obviously, I sit on the sidelines. You know, right, and I can't ever tell if a field goal is good or not. I mean, you don't have the depth perception.
It wasn't like the Hartley kick and the Vikings game in the championship where like once that went up you're like, oh fuck, that it's
well, right, right. Everybody knew that was going.
Alright, so let's move into game preview. It's Saints are traveling up to New York to face the Giants.
With a freshly rejuvenated Victor Cruz. Yeah.
Damon Jinx. with the Delvin Bro injury, I don't know. I mean, how are we going to. What are we going to do with this?
It's going to be another shootout.
Is Eli like Manning going to torch us?
Most likely.
Yeah. And we're going to torch them.
No pass rush. No
don't
DBs.
Good thing. Spags. Hey, guess what? Eli Manning is now the best Manning in the league.
Spags is their defensive coordinator. So we should score 45 or 50.
There you go.
Problem is the Giants will score 45 or 50 as well.
No, they'll score 46 or 51.
Oof.
Maybe we win on a last second field goal.
Well, at least our kicker got the jitters out this week, right? Maybe.
That is, that's pretty like, all right, bud, your first game, here you go, 62-yarder, win it.
Right? That's how you harden a kicker.
Give a pat on the ass, go get him, champ.
You know what? Well, you deserve to be here. That's why.
You're right.
You know, for Sean Payton, well, I was wondering what Sean Payton was telling him when he walked to the side after.
Just hit that Florida Lee.
The Raiders called the timeout, and Sean Payton walked over there, and they were saying something. I wonder if Peyton being motivational, you know. But again, look, just that Peyton had that kind of confidence in that guy.
Yeah, he killed it. Like, I mean, he hit a very good kick. And
the
best
spot. And if he'd have done on the 50-yarder what he did on the 60-yarder, the 50-yarder would have been good.
Yep.
Oh, the best thing, though, is right before he does that kick, the announcers on the TV, they're like, you know, he kicked about 10 of these 60-yarders during warm-ups. And, you know, he made at least like 3 of them.
Well, it's better than jinxing him. Yeah, he kicked all 10 of them in.
Right? Surely, there's no way he can miss. They did show the Dempsey kick, too, right before the kick, too.
Did they?
So the Giants coming off that late win against the Cowboys because the Cowboys receiver didn't get out of bounds. So, but I mean, the Giants didn't look all that great this past week.
They really didn't.
Dallas.
They really didn't. I think we're going to hold our own. I think we looked a lot better than what people expected us to look when we came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Delvin Bro will hurt a little bit. Hopefully, maybe the defensive line can do something. Just something. I mean, it can only go uphill.
Can it? I mean, we said that before, but this defensive line has been pretty bad the last couple of years.
Like he's saying, they're pretty as bad as it gets.
Yeah, we can only go up. So
he can't do worse than no sacks and no takeaways.
How's the Giants' defense even?
Well, they held the Cowboys to, 19 points?
Not saying much.
19 points, but the Cowboys also had a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but Prescott didn't look terrible.
He didn't look terrible, but they couldn't get anything really like down the field. It was a lot of short throws.
That's what Drees does.
I mean, look, the offense should be able to score a lot of points this week, and I expect them to score a lot of points this week.
I mean, we've got to be due for a takeaway, right? We can't go 2 games in a row without a takeaway.
Oh, I
we
think
can, we can, but I'm just hoping that we don't.
This game may come down to special teams.
Ugh.
If Marcus Murphy holds on to the ball.
Well, he held on to the ball last week.
Actually, he juggled a punt. Kickoff return. I forget which one, but the best part of it is he ran and could have gone left or right, but ran straight into the back of his blocker.
That was the last one when we got the penalty on the last play, and then we couldn't take advantage of it because he runs right into his blockers.
Yeah.
When he gets the kick, I'm like, oh, he fumbled it. That usually means when he fumbles,
yeah, the kick
and then picks it up, good things usually happen.
Right.
Not that time.
That's the only thing I did think. I'm like, he juggled it. I'm like, holy shit, we're going to score on this play.
Right.
I do like our coverage. Our coverage has been pretty solid. I gave one away, I think, to Oakland. That was a pretty big run, a return. But, I mean, all through preseason and most of those returns against Oakland were pretty solidly covered. I mean, I like our coverage on special teams.
Yeah, so that's good.
Please. All right. Does CJ Spiller play this one? How's the matchup?
I can't see how he could be scratched again, although no, it was a shock to see it happen this week.
But it's in New York. It's his natural habitat, so.
Bird too? Does Bird not be nothing this week?
He might get a tackle.
Ugh.
I think Bird did finish with 2 tackles this week.
great. That's what we're paying him the big bucks for.
Yeah.
Someone tripping over you does not constitute a tax.
Score prediction, Jason.
I would go with 48-45.
Oh, wow.
Same.
Look,
well, we don't know.
I don't know. That's going to be the score. 48-45.
You fill in the blank.
Yeah.
All right, Damon.
I'll go 38-30, New Orleans.
How are we going to hold them to 30 points?
Adam?
41-37. Saints.
All right.
Had to think about it. It was long. It was hard.
Yeah.
It was very confusing what was going on in the head.
Right. I guess I'll go 38-35 Saints. High scoring game, apparently, all around the table.
I'm going to be a nervous wreck on the couch because it's going to be a lot of points scored.
All right. Jason, what's your final thoughts there?
Final thoughts? I thought I was going to have a final thought.
You thought that was your final thought. That I thought I was going to have a final thought. But
that was the final thought I had tonight.
That's right. Damon, final thoughts.
Very, very disappointed in all the Raiders fans in the fucking Superdome. I'll say it again. God damn you who sold your fucking tickets. Fuck you. Go to the damn games, or at least sell them to Saints. I mean, there's a 50,000-person waiting list. I'm pretty sure there are Saints fans that want to go to the game. You know?
Is there still a 50,000 waiting list?
Yeah, I think...
Okay, it might be 40,000 now, but still.
Okay, 40,000 is still a lot, you know?
Well, they didn't seem to go look on StubHub to find any tickets this weekend.
Yeah, maybe the Raiders fans are paying premium prices.
Well,
I don't know.
The Saints fans selling them knew they could charge a premium for this game because it's going to be a
sure. But and Jeff, you mentioned it, and Jason, you know, like I said, you could hear the chant of defense, is God. That is so.
I heard on the TV, and at first I was kind of like, wow, the crowd's really. Oh wait, we're on offense. Oh shit.
I mean, that is so frustrating sitting in the Superdome.
That's just the lack of faith in those fans.
Right. Well, but again, I can remember during the Hazlitt era, we played the Raiders, and it was worse then.
Well,
because they started the chant Raiders. That's their chant. They're trying to their chant is so fucking stupid. They just say the name of their team because they don't want to forget.
All right, Adam. Final thoughts.
I'd like to see us get, you know, at least 2 turnovers this week. If we can get 2 turnovers, I think we can win the game. If we don't, I think we're coming back 0-2.
At least we'll have the Falcons. Week 3.
There you go. Rebound then. Anyway, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgum.
Say bye-bye, Yankees.
Bye-bye, undefeated season donkey.
That's how I'm going to listen to it, the old-fashioned way.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
To see the sun again. Lives down by the ocean, taking care to look for sharks. They hang out down around the waterfront with feet right after dark. Can't you feel them circling, honey? Can't you feel them circling around? Dance to the left. The sand with a rock and roll.
the right way. The money's still good in the season. Helps to lighten up her load. Boys keep her high as the months roll by. She's getting postcards from the road. Can't you feel them closing in, honey? Can't you feel them schooling her? Some peace and quiet, hopes to keep her dreams afloat. Feels like a remorse. School's still close at hand. It's behind the reef of the big white tee. The shark will swim on land. Can't you feel him circling, honey? Can't you feel him schooling around?
Of Margaritaville. Please remain standing for the national anthem.